Colossians 1:16-17 tells us that. He was circumcised on the eighth day, as the law of Moses stated. He was taken to the temple in Luke chapter 2. We talked about that, as the law had stated, at 12 years old. He spent his early years as a carpenter in Nazareth, as we read in Mark chapter 6. He began his ministry in Judea, Samaria, and Galilee, and he lasted there about 6 months. His first miracle was performed at Cana, at the wedding of Cana in John chapter 2. And his second miracle was the healing of the nobleman's son that we talked about in Capernaum in John chapter 4. Now, the second stage of his ministry, there's 6 to 8 months he spent there at Capernaum in Galilee. And he performed miracles and he did all of that. And then the third stage was he stayed healing there around Galilee, and the crowds followed him, and he preached a sermon on the mount. Now, this caused the Pharisees and the religious crowd to hate him because he was turning their world upside down. And so, by the way, organized religion never has cared much for the Lord Jesus anyway. It's all about organized religion. It's about machinery. It's about politics within the church. It's about position and power and praise and all those things. They didn't care anything about the Savior coming. They just wanted to line their pockets and to build up their own power and things like that. And it hadn't changed very much. It hadn't changed. Man's not changed since he's still a dirty, rotten sinner. And churches still have leadership and people in places of power that don't care anything about seeing somebody come to Jesus. They want them to come to their organization, and they want them to be a part of their machinery. It's funny, after I got saved, people started inviting me to church where I worked, and I didn't even know they went to church because they didn't invite me until after I got saved, and they thought I was good enough then I could come. Amen. So they wasn't wanting to get you to Jesus. They were wanting to get you to their club or to their machine or their denomination or whatever it was they had a big spot in. Hadn't changed much. The Pharisees did the same thing. So tonight we come to another part. The first one, they saw he was willing to change a man's condition, which they thought could not be done. And now they're going to see that he can change a man's, he can cleanse a man from his sins, which they did not know that that could be done either. So look at it with me, if you will, verse 17. If you look at verse 17 through 26 in John chapter 5, verse 17. He said, and Jesus answered them, my Father knoweth, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, that old word quickeneth means made them alive, even the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which has sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Son, look at this, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. Now, the Pharisees didn't like him healing people. And they said, they blamed it on the Sabbath, said, who are you to heal on the Sabbath? Well, he was the God of the Sabbath. He was the one that invented the Sabbath. You know, the Sabbath being Friday, the Jewish holy day. He was the one that invented the Sabbath in the first place. So certainly he could do what he wanted to with the Sabbath. Amen? Amen. Now, so they criticized him because, see, they had their order of things. And they would rather have their order of things than they would have him. Boy, how many places have you ever been like that? They don't care what Jesus has to say. As long as everything stays in their order and their way of doing it, they're just fine. I candidated at that creek way down in South Carolina called... Years ago, I candidated an old church built in the 1800s, had a big old giant cemetery. The name of it was Catfish Creek Baptist Church. And when they called me, I thought, sounds like my kind of church. And I went down there, and it was a museum. Had brass tags with people's names on everything through the hundreds of years. You know, it was a living museum. And go down the hall, and I call it the Hall of Shame. They had the pictures of all the past pastors hung on that wall. So I was curious. I started at one end. The first pastor lasted 20 years. The next one lasted like 16. The next one like 15. The next one like 12. The next one, and we're talking since the 1800s. But you get way up closer to the current time, and some of them was lasting 2 years, and some of them was lasting 1 year, and the last one didn't last but 6 months. So I just go in there and preach. I'm just me, you know, and I just preach like I always do. And at 12 o'clock on the dot, some of them got up and walked out. You know I'm not going to finish at 12 o'clock on the dot. But that's their religion. Their religion was done at 12. They were finished. Amen. I wasn't. They were. They were finished. And I preached up a storm. And they took us to eat. And they interviewed us, you know. And one woman said, well, we only got one thing. We like your preaching. You're a great preacher. We like your personality and all this stuff and your history and all this stuff. But we're afraid of you. I said, what you afraid of? We're afraid that if we vote you in, you're going to change things. Because you go out and find people and bring them in. I said, yeah. They said, well, that's okay if you bring them in as long as they want to be like us and don't want us to be like them. I said, well, that ain't going to happen because if you go get new people, things are going to change and probably for the better. I said, you probably don't want me then. And they didn't ever call me back. But they loved the preaching. They felt the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. They saw God working with their teenagers and the young people listening to me and paying attention to me. It inspired themselves, and yet when it came down to that one thing, we don't want to change. Because if we... Now all change is not good. Don't get me wrong. A lot of change is not. If it's new, it ain't true. And if it's true, it ain't new. Don't tell me this new stuff is what I'm talking about. It's not. But what they were saying was these old dirty rotten sinners come in, they accept Christ, and they'll get so excited, and they'll shout and clap and praise God, and they'll expect us to do the same thing. We're dead. Leave us alone. We like being dead. Amen. You ever been in a church where you was afraid to say amen? Amen. You're afraid to leave. You wanted to go, glory to God. Amen. Amen. Because they'd escort you out, you know, like that old lady kept shouting, that old dead preacher. He'd preach and she'd say, amen. And he'd preach and he'd stop. He'd lose his place and he'd stop and go back to preaching. And she'd say, glory to God. And he'd lose his place and he'd get caught up. She'd say, amen. And it's one of those churches that had phones, you know. So he went over, got the phone, he said, get that woman out of here. So the ushers come down, one guy on each side, you know. And there's an usher around. She said, praise God, hallelujah, glory to God. And he stopped them and said, wait a minute, stop. Lady, what are you shouting about? We ushering you out of here. He said, the Lord had one donkey to ride on. I got two carrying me. Glory to God. I don't want to change. I would have used the other word, but y'all don't know the other word is a Bible word and it would have offended you. It really is a Bible word. But y'all use it to cuss, so I couldn't use it. Look, in verse 17 through 26, he's saying that God, through Jesus Christ, is willing to forgive a person's sin. Willing to. Look at verse 17. In verse 17, he said, but Jesus answered, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. You know what he's saying? My Father, the God of heaven, the creator of the universe, the Savior of all mankind, has always worked, and he sent me down here to do his work, and he's working right now through me. He had the power and the presence of the living God in him, on him, all around him. Amen?
Amen. Yeah.
Now, in verse 18, 19, look at that. In verse 18 and 19, he says, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus. Now, you see, he knew what they was thinking. They didn't have to say it. He knew it. He knows what you're thinking.
Amen.
He looks on the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Amen?
Yes,
people are cussing in front of me and they'll apologize and say, oh, I'm sorry. I said, hey, don't worry about me. I'm not the one you got to answer to. I'm not the one writing it down. There's one bigger than me listening. He knows it's in your heart before it ever came out of your mouth.
Amen.
Amen. And in verse 19, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son, see that capital S? The sun, not that thing they're going to worship Easter morning on those sunrise service, not the S-U-N, but the S-O-N. He was up and gone before that sun got up. Amen. And I'm going to preach on that pretty soon. I look forward to every Easter. Every Easter I look forward to that. And he said, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Now, listen to this. A lot of people need a touch of God to do anything. I do. You do. We need a touch of God. To do any good work, we need a touch of God. We need the Holy Ghost of God to touch us, to empower us, to motivate us. Everything. We need that. The Holy Ghost has to do that to us and through us. But he didn't need that. Because he was God in the flesh. And what? Hey, he was, as they accused him of making himself equal with God, he did because he was equal with God.
Amen. Yeah.
You know the funny thing about it is? These same people had to read these scriptures all their life. They had no other textbook other than the Old Testament. That's all they had. And some writings of the rabbis. They knew who he was. They knew that he had fulfilled prophecy, where he was born, when he was born, how he was born. They knew he had fulfilled prophecy, the city he grew up in. They knew he had fulfilled prophecy by healing people. And they knew who he was, and yet they got mad at him because he said who he was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, you know, a lot of times people don't mind you being a Christian as long as you don't talk about it. They don't mind you being a Christian as long as you keep your mouth shut. Amen? As soon as you start talking about it, boy, the fangs come out and the claws start growing.
Yeah.
Rah! That old lion comes, that roaring lion, the devil gets in them. Hey, they'll come after you. They'll cuss you. They'll lie on you. They'll falsely accuse you. They'll call you everything in the book but a child of God. And call you a hypocrite and a liar and everything else. And Jesus didn't take it, though. He said, yeah, that's me. We'll do that. If God's in us and people say, well, I thought you was a Christian. You say, yeah, I am.
Amen.
Well, I thought Christians didn't act like that. Well, to say, how do you know? You ain't ever read the book. If you did, you'd be a Christian yourself. You can't tell me what a Christian is until you become one. Amen?
Amen.
They're working on this roof. They're roofing it. I roofed my house, two houses. Sorest job. No, putting insulation in is the sorest job I've ever had. But roofing was the next to the sorest job I've ever done. I didn't know what I was doing either time. I did not. I had my wife on the roof with me the first time over around that little house over there. She was up on the roof with me. And we wasn't smart enough not to do it in the summertime. I think like June or July we didn't. It got so hot on that roof. I had on those Gilligan tennis shoes. I love those Gilligan style tennis shoes. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? They're like loafer tennis shoes. I had those on, and when I came down that night, the bottom of my feet were blistered through those shoes. It was so hot on that roof. You know why? I didn't know what I was doing. I never would attempt to tell a roofer how to roof one. Though I've done it now, twice, I never would, because I don't know what I'm doing. I'm usually working with somebody that does know what they're doing. I never would. And for somebody to look at me and say, "You ain't no Christian," I want to look at them and say, "How would you know? You've never been one." And the only reason you're saying that is you've been convicted because you know I am one.
Amen.
Amen. Preacher, you're mean. I'm about to turn 64, and I don't care about things like that anymore. Everybody ain't going to like me. It took me 64 years to figure that out. Everybody ain't going to like me. Amen. And since she started putting me on Facebook, I've had a whole lot more that don't like me. But I don't care. How would they know?
That's right. Come on, man.
The only way they would know is if somebody had told them how to be one, and they didn't do it. Amen? And the same way with Jesus. They knew who he was. And he didn't argue with them. He said, "Yep, that's me. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and the Father are one. If you heard me, you heard him." Amen. Hey, if you've seen him work, that's my works. He sent me to do those works. He didn't argue with him that he was not. He didn't defend himself. He stood up and kept right on doing what he was supposed to do. And listen, there needs to come a time where you and I need to realize that Jesus Christ has cleansed us from all our sins, past, yes, present, that we are committing, and yet future sins that we will commit. We will never be perfect. We will never be sinless until we get raptured out of this stinking place and get a new body and get up to heaven. Then we'll be sinless. Amen. But right now, yeah, they can judge us and say, "You're not a good Christian." Sometimes we can hang our head and say, "No, I'm not, but I am a Christian." Amen. Jesus never had to do that. But we ought not be ashamed. Romans 1:16, Paul said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation." In other words, that's what saves you. It's the power of God unto salvation. To him that believeth, hey, anybody, whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. Anybody can have it. And we ought not be ashamed of that. I don't know who was with me. Went visiting about a year ago up in Clover, and went to this mobile home that somebody else used to live at but didn't live there now. A different man was there then. There used to be a lady that came here. And he said, "No, she doesn't live here anymore. That's my sister-in-law. I bought this place from them." He said, "Y'all come on in." So we went in, me and somebody. I don't remember who was with me. And we sat on the couch. He commenced to tell us about himself. He'd just gotten out of the penitentiary and all these things. Was that you, Rick? He said, "Y'all wouldn't want me in your church." I said, "Yeah, we would." He said, "If people in your church knew what I did, they wouldn't want to sit with me." I said, "If you knew what some of the people in my church have done, you wouldn't want to sit with them." I said, "That's what the church is there for." Amen. It's a hospital for sinners, man. Amen. Hey, this ain't a museum for masterpieces. We're not there yet. Amen. We're still being worked on, improved every day. Amen. And we ought not be ashamed of that. That Jesus is God and he has the power to save and to remake whosoever will. Amen. Amen. Now, did you know that we need a touch of God, but he didn't need a touch of God. He was God himself. Amen. All right, now look at verse 20. Verse 20. "For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel." You know what? He told that man that we studied about last week, he said, thy sins be forgiven thee. He didn't say be healed, not at first. He said, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now, that shows that he has the ability and the power to forgive sins, and no one else on planet Earth has that power. No one's ever been on planet Earth or in heaven has that power outside of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Some people will travel millions or hundreds of thousands of miles on a pilgrimage to get to Rome to kiss the toe of the ring. No, the toe of the statue of Peter. And by the way, Peter never even went to Rome. That's a lie. That's not his statue. And they've kissed it so much till it's worn away. The cement or whatever it's made out of, the granite, whatever it's made out of, is worn away, they tell me. And then but people travel, spend thousands of dollars to go over there just to do that. Hoping that'll get them a doorway into heaven. Some will travel the same miles to hear the Pope come out on that little porch. He's got a little window with a little porch, and he'll come out there and say, "Domino, Domino, you know, somebody go get pizza." And he'll come out there and make the hand signs, and then he'll make a little speech, and then he'll, you know, and millions of people do that, hoping that maybe they'll get to go to heaven because they got to see the Pope. Martin Luther was called to see the Pope, and he walked in and he said, "Yes, sir, your hellishness." That's what he called him the Antichrist. He did. Martin Luther, a Lutheran. They wouldn't do that now. Amen. But by the way, I'm going to go ahead and say it. I always say it right here. No hope in the Pope. There's none other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved than the man, Christ Jesus. That's the only way you're going to get saved. That's the only name you're going to get saved by, because he was God in the flesh, and only God could forgive sins. No man could forgive sins. You know why? We're all guilty. All, A-L-L, have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So that canceled out your right and your ability to forgive anybody else's sins, because you can't even forgive your own. Amen? You'd have to be sin-free to forgive somebody else's sin. Those poor Muslims, they'll go over there to Mecca, and they got this big, giant, black box built inside this gigantic, beautiful building with no roof on it, and it looks like a city. And once in their life, they have to make a pilgrimage there, and they think that'll give them a surety of heaven. And they walk around that big old black box, and there's a black rock that big put up in the side of it. It's really a one-room house with black cloth over it. And inside the house is a black rock. I forget what they call it. The Madonna stone or something. They say it fell down from Mars. And Allah sent it down here. And if you'll kiss or touch that rock, you'll be saved. And now they had to build a fence around it because people was kissing it and rubbing it so much it was wearing away. Hoping that'd give them a door in it. So the men walk around that thing and they got little whips. And they whip themselves while they're praying. All the way around that thing. And they do that till they fall down and pass out from the pain and the anguish of whipping themselves, hoping they'll get rid of some sin that maybe they just might get to go to heaven. Poor Mormon. He'll go down here I forget what they call that thing. They don't call it church. They call it something else. Come on, help me, ex-Mormons. What? No, it ain't. That's a Jew. Ward, to the ward. They'll go down here to the ward down here, and they'll go through Bible study. They call it Bible studies, but it's really Book of Mormon studies. And they'll go in there and they'll get baptized, hoping that because they got baptized in that church by a Mormon, that God will allow them to go to heaven. They even got holy underwear. I had some, but I threw them away. My wife bought me some more.
They do. I don't mean holy. I mean they actually have garments that they call holy underwear. And you got to get baptized in them and you got to wear them. I'm telling you, people do all kind of crazy things thinking that somebody somewhere on planet Earth has some kind of authority, some kind of organization, some kind of denomination that will help them get to heaven. And then when the real Jesus comes along, they say, no, that's too simple. That's too simple. That's ABC. Admit you're a sinner, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And they call upon the name of the Lord, and whosoever shall call, he'll save them. Amen. No, I preach that's too simple. You got to do something. Yeah, you're going to die and go to hell because you're listening to the wrong people trying to lead you the wrong way because of their pride. They don't want to point to him like John the Baptist and say, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. If they do that, they're going to lose their position and they're going to lose their paycheck and they're going to lose their power and all the things that comes with it. Amen. Come on, help me. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Amen. Denominationalism and churches and cults and everything else. You know what they need? They need to realize that there's only one person that can say, thy sins be forgiven thee.
Amen. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Yes.
I'm glad I don't have to go to a man that wears his collar backwards. He wears a woman's gown. And they call him father. He ain't never been married and ain't supposed to have been done birth to any children. Who knows nowadays, but most of them go the other way. I'm glad I don't have to go to some pedophile and talk to him through a screen wire in a box and confess my sins. Hey, I go straight to the throne of grace.
Amen.
And I say, Lord Jesus, here I am again. I thank you for saving me. I thank you for keeping me. But you said, I've done it again, Lord. But if you said, if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, 1 John 1:9. I go straight to the throne of God.
Amen.
Because of who Jesus was. He was God in the flesh. Amen?
Yes.
And man, I'm running out of time. There ain't never enough time when I preach. Look at number 21, verse 21. For as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. You know, I told you that word quickeneth means make alive. That's an old English word. Most of you already know it, but some don't, so I get to tell this again. I like telling this. You ever bite your fingernail? You ever bit down to the quick? Why didn't it hurt before you got to the quick? Because that's dead stuff. Your fingernail's dead stuff. It had no feeling. But when you get to that live flesh, you'll know it. Amen? Now, that's we call it the what? That means the alive part. Now, he said, only the Son has the authority and the power to make alive. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Jesus said in John 3:3, you must be born again. You was born wrong. You're spiritually dead. You're dead in trespass and sin. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, for the natural man, that's the one that's born like we're born. I was born of Ruth, the natural man, Ruth Roddy. The natural man understandeth not the things of the Spirit, for they are spiritually discerned. Ephesians 2 says, ye who were dead in trespasses and sin, hath he quickened, made alive in Christ Jesus. Amen? Now, you see, religion doesn't like that. That cuts out the middleman. Or woman nowadays. Or confused, maybe, nowadays. A him or her or herma, his or her. Or yeah, whatever it is. Like putting lipstick on a pig. Amen. A jewel in a swine snout.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Listen. Look at verse 22. The Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son.
Now, wait a minute. What's the first thing we said as sinners when somebody tried to tell us we need to be saved? We said, don't judge me. Or they'd say, you catch them in a sin, you know, living in sin, you say, you ought not do that, that's sin. Who are you to judge me?
Well, if it's my child, I say I'm your father. That's who. If it's my grandchild, I say I'm your grandfather. That's who. You know. But for a stranger, I'd say I'm not judging you. God judged you a long time ago when He wrote it in His book. That's sin. I didn't say that. God did. If you don't like that, take it up with the one that wrote it. Leave me alone. I didn't write the book. I'm just trying to help you. Amen?
Amen.
And He said, God put all that judgment into His Son's hands. Now, Jesus is going to judge the world. Jesus is going to judge everybody that's ever been born in the history of mankind or ever will be born in the history of mankind. Hell itself will be emptied and they'll stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. Heaven will be judged by Him. Earth will be judged by Him. Our sins today, right now, are judged by Him. There's no man on earth got the authority to judge you. No, you're right. But we do have the obligation to warn people. That's going to kill you. And when it gets through killing you physically, it's going to kill you spiritually. Because sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Always. The wages of sin is death. Always. The economy changes, that economy never changes. Stays the same, never changes. So, I'm not judging you. I'm just telling you what the judge said. I like that.
Amen.
Don't you like that? I saw you did. I like that. I'm not judging you. Hey, I'm just the clerk of court. And I'm reading the verdict.
Amen.
I'm not judging you. He is. Amen. The same one that judged me and the same one that judges me every day. He's the one that's doing, not us. We judge ourselves, but we judge ourselves by what He said.
Amen.
Amen. Bible tells you, judge yourself. But we do it by what He says. Amen. Well, I better hurry up. Y'all didn't run out of time. All right. Look at verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now, he proved his authority to forgive sins right there. He proved it. I want you to notice some things, and I'll quit. I'm not through. I'm just going to quit. He said, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. As many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. So He's saying, if you heard the Word of God convicted you, you turned to the Savior, you received Him, He forgave you. It's done. Look here. Hath. That's present tense. Has, right now. Hath. I'm not waiting for everlasting life. I've got it right now.
Yes.
I'm going to live as long as God lives. I can't die unless God dies. You're reading the paper one day. Clarence Ronald Roddy. Don't laugh at that name, Clarence. Yours is probably funny. Clarence Ronald Roddy. Born April 16, 1954. Died. Da, da, da. I want you to look at that paper and say, that's a lie. He ain't dead. He moved. Amen. He moved. That's all. And shall not. That's future, right? And shall not come into condemnation. Can't be condemned. I believed. I have everlasting life. I shall not come into condemnation. I can't be lost again. But is, present tense, passed from death unto life. Is, right now, already done, passed from death unto life. That means spiritual death unto eternal life. Y'all got it? Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour coming now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they shall, they that hear shall live. He said, I'm so powerful at this that one day I'm going to speak to the dead, and they're going to come to life too, just like you did.
Amen.
Would have been something if he'd walked out that cemetery there at Lazarus' tomb that day, instead of saying, roll back that stone and holler, Lazarus, come forth. He just walked out there and said, come forth. The whole graveyard would empty. Well, it's going to happen. One day the trumpet's going to sound and the dead in Christ are going to rise first and the voice of the archangel is going to shout, come up hither! And we're all going up at the same time. Amen? But only Jesus has that authority.
Only Jesus has that power. And then look at verse 27. I'm going to quit. And hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. In other words, he's saying, well, he wasn't only God, but he was also man. The Son of Man means he was born after the similitude of mankind.
He had flesh like we have. He didn't have father like we do. Wherefore, is by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so then death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. It's talking about Adam. Adam was not Jesus' great-great-great-grandfather. He was born of a woman, but hey, the Holy Ghost conceived him in that woman's womb. He didn't have an earthly father. He had a heavenly father. So that gave him the authority to forgive and to forget, and to bless, and to heal, and to do all the works of the Father in that flesh. Now that's Jesus.
He's more than a stinking Easter egg on Easter.
Yes.
He's more than those biddies I was telling y'all about Sunday, those colored biddies we used to get. I still don't know what that had to do with Easter. And I didn't know then, but I was a kid, I liked to have a little biddy I could torture. You know. I had red ones and orange ones and yellow ones. Then when they got big enough, we eat them. Amen? He's more than a little baby in a manger. Amen? He's more than a suffering servant. And the world don't mind if you talk about him being a baby. And they don't mind if you talk about him getting up out of the tomb. And they don't mind if you talk about him healing. But don't you talk about him bringing judgment and life or death or mercy or grace or unforgiveness. Don't. They don't want to hear that.
I'm glad I know the real one. Amen. The Apostle Paul said that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Thank God I know him. And I know a little bit about the power of resurrection. March 5th, 1978. Eastside Baptist Church, 6th pew on the left-hand side, Bully Foggenberry pointing that big old fat finger at me, singing the 300 verse of Just As I Am without one plea, broke out and come down that aisle, got born again, and the power of the resurrection came in me and made me a new creature. I got a new mind, new heart, new spirit. I even got a new name written down in glory. Amen. Don't tell me I ain't no Christian. Amen. Let's stand. Father, thank you for the word of God that never